From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 9th day of September, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And then later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Along the way today, we'll update crop conditions in Illinois, Iowa, and Nebraska, the top three corn-producing states in the nation. And we'll recap USDA's weekly crop progress report, as well as take a look forward at Friday's crop production and WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply, and demand estimates. And then as we close out the half-hour program, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat at $4.29 in Chicago, down 2.5 cents with the lead option soft red. December at $4.56 and a quarter, down 2.75. And the March there at $4.76, down 2.75. They trade hard red in Kansas City, where the September contract finished 4.5 cents lower at $4.60 and a half. From the corn pit, nearby September 3.05 and a half. The lead option up 2.75, December at 3.09 and 3/4, up 2 and 1/4, and the March corn at 3.23 and a quarter, up 2 and 1/4. May futures 3.32 and 3/4, 2 and a quarter higher, and the July corn 3.41 and a quarter, up 2 and 1/4. Soy complex now, September beans, $9.61 and a half, 7.5 cents the loss, down 7.5 in the nearby September. November futures followed suit, 9.28 and a half, down 8. January at 9.35 and 3/4, down 7.5, and the March soybeans, 9.41, down 6 and a quarter. The May at 9.42 and a quarter, down 3 and 3/4. July at 9.46 and a quarter, down 3 and 3/4. September bean meal at 3.48.80, up 5.30. Oil at 33.73, down 50 cents. October live cattle at 87.55, up 45. December there at 87.42 and a half, 55 higher. September feeder 75 cents higher at 99.80. The ox at $100.22 and a half, up a buck and a half, or a buck and 5 cents. In the October lean hogs at 47 and a half cents, higher for the day. They settled 51.45. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $71.10. The settlement price there on the lead option October, up $3.08. November at 71.59, just to prove that it's not a fake, 304 higher on the afternoon. Ethanol at $1.57 and a half, 0.6 of a cent higher. Natural gas at $2.83 and a half, up 2 and 8 tenths. And the RBOB, $1.82 and 8 cents, that was just about unchanged on the 8th day. Heating oil, dense diesel fuel, $1.979 and 0.6 of a cent, up 1 and 3 tenths. And the propane futures at $97 and 4 tenths of a cent, up 3 and 1/10 of a cent. September gold futures, $995.30 an ounce. The settlement price down $2.60. The Dow at 9,500 even, just about even on the day, 3 points higher. U.S. dollar at 77.08, down 0.23. And the CRB index at 253.07 is down 0.5 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like, says our own chief meteorologist Ed Kieser. For tonight, a few scattered showers during the evening hours. Otherwise, partly cloudy, patchy fog forming overnight. Ed says lows will range between 56 and 62, with the mid-60s in the downtown parts of Chicago. Tomorrow, patchy fog early, otherwise partly to mostly sunny. Widely scattered showers, some thunderstorms popping up during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow, says Ed, from 76 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the far southern parts of Illinois. Mr. Kieser says the jet stream will remain northeast of our area for the next couple of weeks, meaning no well-organized storm systems expected to move through, although temperatures should remain close to average with no threat of frost. A weather disturbance cut off from the upper air low will likely meander across the northern plains into the western Midwest this weekend into early next week. More on the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner at the bottom of this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the line with us, as always, is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. I enjoyed being with you at the Farm Progress Show and also enjoyed seeing all your brothers and family there at the show as well.
Yeah, I don't know whether my brothers enjoyed seeing me at the show, but I think we all had a good time. Actually, Tim called and said, hey, you want to go to the ISU game this weekend? I said, sure. He's an ISU grad. I'm a U of I grad, so we'll have fun this weekend at the game. And maybe the Illini will perform a whole lot better. I hope so. Anyway, you know, the other thing we hope is that the marketplace might perform a lot better too, Paul, but it hasn't been. What are your concerns as we move through this week into the crop production and WASDE numbers on Friday morning?
Yeah, it's a big week, Todd, and you know it's so important because you know the acreage and the yield per acre that we have to be we have to take it as you know the best guess as of September the 12th. There was a satellite group that came in the day at 153.8 and 39.9 on beans, and that gave the market a little bit of a bump today. Those are important numbers in the fact that it's a new science. They have had a good track record, and it surprised the marketplace a little bit. Talking to the meteorologists and everything, it looks like pretty good weather. It wouldn't hurt for the Midwest, at least east of the Mississippi, to have another nice drink of water in here. But I think most people are bracing themselves for a very large crop. The crop ratings are telling us that. The private sources, just walk outside in a lot of places in the Midwest. And the verdict is not officially in yet, but it is pointing towards a very good crop in the Midwest. We did listen to a report today. Some of the Mid-South bean yields in Arkansas are coming in 40 to 60 bushels to the acre. We're also, getting reports that, that is a pretty good bean yield at this time.
You know, are you surprised? Well, let me take that back. When you talk to producers from east of the Mississippi River, they seem stubborn on the idea that this crop is very large and that when they travel Illinois, at least, they say, in my fields, things are pretty variable across the field. You get up on top and you start looking down, and this crop still doesn't look that good to them. And I guess they're probably stubborn on their marketing, too, and it's probably too late at this point, but maybe there are things that they can do yet.
Yeah. Well, most everybody's a survivor. we want to talk about that a little bit too. But I think the big thing is I think they're realists, and you have to watch the weather forecast. And as of this morning, the one that I have the most confidence in said September 24th. Frost-free, and the pattern is such that it we could go on into that October 1st time frame, which is kind of an important part of the equation. I think that I think the big problem here is that we know we're facing a big crop in corn, and we're facing wet corn, and it's not going to be easy to put a big crop of dry corn away like we want and dream about, and therefore every time the corn crop has to move, it does reduce the price and the value to the farmer, and that's what I think most of us are very concerned about.
You know, let's take a look at the world agricultural and supply and demand estimates as opposed to the crop production numbers. Ending stocks at this year on average now, the trade guess is pretty close to what USDA said in August at about a 1.7, 1.7, 1.2, something like that. Next year, 1768, USDA at 1.62 billion bushels. How much does that, that's what, more than a billion more, or a half, well, let's see, how much is that? Not a billion, but 100 million more. What do you think that moves the marketplace if it comes out that way, or has the market already built it into the system?
Well, we do have some major problems here, and of course the livestock industry, they've been beat up bad, and hopefully with the cheap dollar, that's a factor that's going to help market corn into the export market. We do need to see a little better policy and incentives from the ethanol side to get the market moving there. I think the big factor, in my opinion, is that we do have a big whiff of inflation. I think we are below the cost of production, and we will be looking at less corn acreage next year. Those are the three things that that I sense that this is a 40 part of the corn equation. Unfortunately, we don't have the set-aside days. Unfortunately, we don't have a commodity credit corporation out there to take care of a grain reserve. So, you know, we don't have a lot of tools that we used to have 10 to 15 years ago.
Well, let me ask you a different sort of question. If this is what you're thinking, then a producer who has old crop corn in storage on the farm in his own nice, shiny silver bin, do you want him to move that out in the hopes that he put the fresh crop in and hang on to it for the long run then and just give up on the old crop and work with the new crop?
Well, he's one of the lucky few. if he has a nice big bin, he's going to survive. And, if it was me, I'd go out and build another 100,000 bushel bin tomorrow if I was in his shoes. In other words, storage pays dividends, and having drying capacity, you're in the driver's seat, and I'd take full advantage of all those above.
Okay, what do we do with beans? Anything?
Well, I think unless we have a 45 bushel bean crop, I think beans, aren't going to go to $8 or anything scary like that. I think beans, the demand for beans is tremendous. I think we will have a pretty good soybean crop. The Chinese demand is just so unbelievable, and I do think now that they're probably take them. I 30 days ago I was worried that they maybe had a bubble where they overbought and they couldn't handle the supply. But it's for real. We will see bigger acreage here in the U.S. We will see a bigger acreage in South America. But the bottom line is that the Chinese demand is just tremendous.
Okay, Paul, thanks so much.
Have a profitable day, and always nice talking to you.
It's good to talk to you, too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's the crop progress summary from yesterday afternoon. USDA now says as of Sunday, 86% of the nation's corn crop was at or beyond the dough stage, compared with 90% last year, 94% on the rolling five-year average. Acreage in the dent stage advanced 18 points during the week, leaving progress at 50%, 9 points behind last year and 25 points, or 1 week, behind normal. 8% of the corn acreage has reached maturity. That's 2 points behind last year, 15 points behind the rolling five-year average. Following developmental delays earlier in the growing season, maturation was behind normal in all estimating states, except Colorado and North Carolina, with lags of 36 points or more evident in Kentucky, Missouri, and Tennessee. Overall, 69% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. That's unchanged from a week ago, but up about 8 points from last year. On the soybean side, pod set nearly complete now. 97% of this year's soybean acreage at or beyond that stage. By September the 6th, 1 point ahead of last year, 2 points behind the five-year average. Leaves had dropped in 7% of the bean fields, 2 points behind last year, 11 points behind the average. With progress underway in all estimating states except for Michigan, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. Overall, 68% of the soybean crop rated in good to excellent condition. That's down slightly from last week, but 11 points better than last year. And finally, in the overall picture from USDA, producers had begun seeding the 2010 winter wheat crop. 5% of that crop now in the ground, 1 point ahead of last year. That's on par with the five-year average. The most seeding had been completed in Washington, of course, where warm, sunny days afforded ample time for field work. Now here are updates from the top three corn-producing states.
This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending September 6, 2009. Even though temperatures continued to stay on the cool side, producers welcomed below normal rainfall following the heavy rainfall in many areas during the prior week. The below average rainfall was especially beneficial to low-lying fields in eastern Iowa where flooding was a concern. Low humidity and clear skies allowed crops to slowly progress as the growing season draws to a close. Reports of fungal disease continued in corn and soybean fields, and soybean sudden death syndrome has been identified as the cause of some fields turning color early. While corn and soybeans are still rated in mostly good to excellent condition, crop progress remained well behind the five-year average for most stages. The corn crop continues to progress slightly ahead of last year's late planted crop, but still lags 7 to 8 days behind the normal pace of development, with 86% of the acreage at or beyond the doe stage and 53% denting or beyond. Corn reported mature or safe from frost reached 2%, 1 point behind last year and 15 days behind the five-year average. Corn condition was rated 76% good to excellent, unchanged from last week. Nearly all the soybeans are at or beyond the pod setting stage, and 29% of the acreage have leaves turning color, 3 percentage points ahead of last year, but 17 points behind the five-year average. The crop is most advanced in the northwest and north central districts, where 41 and 35% of the soybean fields are turning color respectively. Soybeans have just begun dropping leaves across the state, with soybean condition rated 75% good to excellent, down 1 point from last week. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending September 6th. Continued below normal temperatures accompanied with near normal rainfall was a story for the week ending September 6th. Statewide, rainfall accumulations averaged 6/10 of an inch, with the wettest area being reported in the southwestern crop reporting district, where just over 1.5 inches of rain fell for the week. Temperatures averaged 64 degrees, or 7.3 degrees, below normal. Growing degree day units since May 1 are now at 2,474, trailing the historic average by 243 units. The corn crop finished the week at 86% in the doe stage, compared to 94% last year and 98% for the five-year average. 44% of the corn fields were reported in the dent stage, and this compares to 58% 1 year ago and 84% for the five-year average. 3% of the crop was reported mature, compared to 4% 1 year ago and 31% for the five-year average. Leading the state in the corn dent category was the southeastern crop reporting district at 75%. Overall, 64% of the corn crop was rated in good or excellent condition, up 2 percentage points from last week. Soybeans in the turning yellow stage were reported at 7%, compared to 16% 1 year ago and 42% for the five-year average. 1% of the state's acreage was reported shedding leaves, and this compares to 2% 1 year ago and 15% normally. Leading the state in the yellowing category was the southeastern crop reporting district at 16%. Statewide, 60% of the soybean crop was rated in good or excellent condition, unchanged from last week. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending September 6, 2009. Another cool week slow crop maturation and high humidity hampered producers trying to put up hay. Temperatures averaged 4 degrees below normal last week. Precipitation was mostly limited to the eastern half of the state. Corn conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Most of the crop is in the dough stage and nearly two-thirds has dented, 6 days behind the average. Soybean conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Over a third of the crop is turning color. Some are beginning to drop leaves. Sorghum conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Over a third of the crop is turning color, 9 days behind the average. 11% of winter wheat has been seeded. Proso millet is being harvested in the panhandle. Pasture and range conditions continue to rate mostly good or excellent, above year-ago levels and well above average. This is Becky Summer of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. We always check in on what's been happening in the world of the cash grain market. On this Wednesday afternoon, Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility out of Delphi, Indiana, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Matt. How are you today?
Doing well, Todd.
Well, first off, tell me, in your area, are you able to get corn for the ethanol plant still?
Yeah, you know, a lot of corn moved there in August. Still a little bit of trickling in here, and basically it seems like just by the bid, most processors have bridged a gap and are waiting for hopefully to buy a cheaper bushel than new crop.
Well, I wondered about that. So how much, and maybe you can explain to me, on hand, how much can you store on hand there for the ethanol plant itself, not including the elevator, but just on site at the ethanol plant? And is that pretty normal, whatever that amount happens to be?
I would say ours is definitely one of the larger storage capacities. We have 4.5 million bushels of storage capacity.
And that will run it for how long?
That would run it there for 45 days or so is kind of the what we consider that on. And most, I'd say most plants have half that, if that. Usually they're running anywhere from 15 to 20 days on hand storage.
Yeah, so the reason behind my question was because it's a long time from now until harvest starts, even in the Western Belt at this point, I think, and there might be an awful lot of corn that still could come out. And do you think that basis will close up? Maybe there might be some premiums for corn that comes out of old crop storage to feed these plants?
You know, there might be someone sitting in the weeds there just hoping and praying that, you know, they're trying not to show their cards at this point and then to sit in the weeds hoping that, you know, the farmer panics and gets some cheap bushels his way. But, yeah, there could be some, you know, guys at plants that do need to have a quick ship premium, maybe that last week of August, or excuse me, last week of September, first week of October, because, you know, most corn harvest in our area probably won't start till the 1st of October, and, you know, that's the very early stuff. Most guys probably won't get too excited about it till the 15th of the month.
You think basis will stay strong through that point?
Yeah, you know, in our part of the world here, crops have been hurt just enough, you know, maybe 10% less than last year, that basis is going to continue to be strong throughout the harvest here.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn here at Climbers, $3.15. Cash beans here at Delphi, $9.98.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Blaisdell. He's with the Andersons at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Back in 2 minutes with Drew Lerner to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
On this day in agricultural history in 1754, William Bligh was born. He became captain of the English ship Bounty, and while sailing to Tahiti to bring back breadfruit trees, the most famous mutiny in history took place. In 1843, a patent was issued for a new hand-cranked ice cream freezer. Nancy Johnson's design added a vertical shaft with curved paddles, reaching nearly to the inside walls. The design quickened the freezing process. In 1890, Harland Sanders was born near Henryville, Indiana. He was, of course, better known as Colonel Sanders, founder of the Kentucky Fried Chicken fast food restaurant chain. In 1917, Edward Johnson died, an American electrical engineer and inventor. He once served as vice president of Thomas Edison's Edison Electric Light Company, but he may be best known for creating the first electric lights on a Christmas tree. And in 1995, Orville Redenbacher died. Born on a farm in Brazil, Indiana, he began growing his own popping corn at age 12, and after earning a Bachelor of Sciences degree in agriculture from Purdue University, he developed the popcorn hybrid that made him famous. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. This is Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us today is Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather right here in the Midwest.
Well, it looks like we are continuing to provide a fairly decent environment for crop development right now. I think there is a potential for us to assume that this is going to last forever, and that may not be the case, but at least for right now, it looks pretty darn good. We've firmed up the soil across a fair amount of the Midwest this past week, even though temperatures haven't been that far above average. In fact, they haven't been above average at all in some areas. The outlook here is continuing to suggest that a upper-level cutoff low-pressure system will form in the northern plains here over the next day or two and then persist in the western Corn Belt, actually move to the west for a little while and then back up into Canada. And what's going to happen is it's going to leave the eastern Corn Belt out of the whole picture here, and we're going to see net drying conditions dominate a big part of that region east of the Mississippi River. Now, there'll be a few showers around, but it's not going to be enough to counter evaporation. So a firmer soil, better crop maturation conditions will take place across the region. Our temperatures will be mostly in a seasonable range, so it's not a bad scenario, and that will last for a big part of the coming week.
Well, and then if you take a little further out in the way of a look, people are always scared at this point that there might be a frost that comes early. What do you say?
Well, I'm still a little bit worried about that myself. There's still a lot of reason to believe that in the last week of September or the first week in October, we will have our next viable threat of cold conditions across the Midwest and the plains. It's a little too soon to jump all over the potential for frost and freezes. I certainly don't want to mislead anybody. You can't really predict those kinds of things this far in advance, but I am focused on that period of time. I do believe that there's a lot of reasons to believe that we will at least have a scare during that period of time. For right now, though, we are free and clear of any kind of frost or freeze threat in the contiguous U.S. For at least the next full week to 10 days. After that, we'll have to be a little more cautious.
That's good news indeed. What do you see in China? They should be getting close to the harvest season there.
Indeed, they are, and they are also worried a little bit about the frost potential in the northeast corner of the country. There are some crops there that were quite cool through a big part of the early to mid-summer. And that's an important soybean and corn production region as well. And so this region does not need an early season frost or freeze. So we're watching that real closely. I don't see anything like that coming up right away. Temperatures will definitely be below average, though, as we go forward into the coming week. The drought area in northeast China is still going to stay in a drought. I don't see any real significant precipitation coming up for that region.
Just a few seconds left to tell me about South America and how they're setting up for their planting season.
Argentina got a fairly decent amount of rain here earlier this week, some 6/10 to 2-inch amounts occurring in the southern half of the country, the first significant generalized rain in some of the corn country. We still need to see much, much more rain, though, to fully end the drought that's been prevailing there for quite some time.
Hey, Drew, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Learned Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.